I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 15. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him.
Good morning, everyone. If you are one that follows our schedule, you'll see there's been a lot of changes recently to our schedules. A couple weeks ago, I was supposed to be on, and I got some kind of virus thing going on and lost my voice, and Rich was nice enough to stand in for me a couple weeks ago. And then with John's health issues, he was supposed to be on today, so I volunteered to take today. So just always know that if someone else is different up here, it's just because we did some switching and we adjust. So as you can see, our topic today is going to be on types of prayers. When I first set this up, I ended up with 9 different types of prayers, but I cut it down to 6. So my goal is not to keep you really long today. I'm going to try to keep it on a time frame, but I do have a lot of information and ideas to share with you, and definitely scriptures, so hopefully you will learn from it. So instead of, you know, we have talked about this morning, such as with Donna's great nephew, praying for our loved ones and, you know, that their health is well. So I basically just took out those sections of praying for other people. And my goal is to talk about prayers when it comes to our immediate walk with God and things that we should pray and how we pray and examples of those prayers. The first one I'm going to start with is escape. Now, I am a movie buff. Gene is a movie buff. I grabbed Gene a trash can because he said if I mention one particular movie, he's going to puke, and I'm going to mention that movie. So, too bad. So, he's got a trash can. He's prepared. But as I was building this idea, I had watched a movie that made me think and apply and think about, and I just kept building and building and getting more ideas. But movies have oftentimes triggered different thoughts with me. So, the idea of escape, I'm going to start with the movie Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump, if you've seen the movie, you know at the beginning when they're really young, Jenny and Forrest go running out into the corn and she begins to pray, "Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away from here." If you know the movie, she was not treated well by her father and she just needed to escape. And we as Christians oftentimes, I know with my life, that's the prayer that I have done more often. And I can tell you that 48 weeks ago in my life, I was making that prayer, and I got stuck on not wanting to face consequences of choices that I made. But there are times that there are things that we have no control over, illnesses, sicknesses, how other people are treating us, and we pray for an escape. When we look in the Old Testament, and I'll be bouncing back and forth between examples of the Old Testament and New Testament as I go through this lesson. But if we start with Exodus and we look at chapter 5, I'm not going to go into and read all of the scriptures, but basically in 17 through 19, Moses has already gone to Pharaoh and said, "You're going to let God's people go," and Pharaoh gets mad, and therefore he says, "I'm going to take all the straw away from the children of Israel, but they still have to make all of their bricks." And they're like, "Well, how am I going to make bricks without the straw?" Didn't matter. Stop being lazy. You're going to do it. It's required. You're our slaves. And so they go and they petition to Moses and they tell Moses that he has caused this burden upon them because he's trying to get them released out of slavery. And then Moses turns the corner and Moses goes to God. And Moses petitions God in verse 22, he says, "Oh Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why do you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak to your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all." He's praying for escape. And if you ever had to suffer through the ideas of slavery and being a slave to an individual, I'm sure that you would have prayed many times for that escape as well. When I look in Luke, and Jesus is talking in chapter 21, he says in verse 36, "But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." So he was teaching from the time he began preaching about different ways, and he set examples about different ways to pray to God. And one of them is escape. We don't have control over those outside and external influences. And sometimes it just seems more than we can bear. And we pray, "God, I need escape. Please help me escape." And Jesus is telling us that we can pray for strength, because we have to be on guard for those. In the letter to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able." And there are times, once again, that we feel like this is more than I can handle. You're right, it is. Because you're trying to do it on your own. I've been there multiple times in my life, and I realize I haven't prayed and I haven't sought God's word and his wisdom and his involvement. I have to look to him for that escape. That verse continues, it says, "But with the temptation will provide a way to escape also, and you will be able to endure it." That should bring us great comfort, knowing that no matter how difficult life gets and struggles that we're facing, I can endure, but I have to be in Christ. And I have to follow God's word in order to be able to endure. Escape is a good prayer, but if it's things that we have done, if it's things that we have caused, 48 weeks ago I was praying the wrong prayer. I was praying for an escape from consequences to my own personal choices that were wrong. Sometimes I have to pray to step up and do what is right. My second movie to look at is referring to battles. And if you know the movie Glory, you see the black soldiers around the campfire and they're praying and they're singing and clapping and encouraging each other. And we have this character named Jupiter, and he says, "Tomorrow we goes into battle, so Lordy, let me fight with the rifle in one hand and the good book in the other. So that if I may die at the muzzle of the rifle, die on water or on land, I might know that blessed Jesus Almighty, are with me, and I have no fear." Because there are times when we have definitely made those choices that are going to bring about natural consequences. We shouldn't be praying for escape. We should be praying for the power, the guidance, and the lack of fear to go in and do what is right. We have to correct our mistakes. There are times that we have to go into things that we're scared of. There are individuals who go out and they are missionaries and preaching in places that if they are caught with a Bible or caught preaching about Jesus, they will be executed. You can't tell me they aren't scared. But they go into that battle ready to fight. In Judges, Gideon was concerned. He was referred to as a mighty man of valor, but yet he hadn't started a fight yet. He saw all these people and he says, "Oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? He's been requested to lead them in." He questioned, he was worried. "What shall I do?" But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." Not telling them that he was only going to be one man, but it would be like as he was one man. And if you study the scriptures, he started out with an army of 32,000 people ready to fight. And eventually they dwindled it down to 300. And they didn't go in and try to slaughter them. They went in with a pitcher with a candle inside and a trumpet to blow. And they screamed, "By the sword of Gideon and for God." And that's all it took. But he put his faith, seeking God's wisdom and the answer on how it could be done. He was ready for battle because God was with him. In Romans 8, 36 and 37, it says, "For your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to the slaughter. They're talking about how they're preaching the gospel, but they are being persecuted for preaching the gospel. But that's all right because they're in battle and they're ready to fight that battle. In verse 37 it says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. But here's the thing, if I'm not a Christian, if I haven't believed that Jesus is the Messiah, that he was sent down to be sacrificed for me, that I've had his blood cleanse me of my sins and I'm doing my best to walk that path, I'm not prepared for battle. I have to be prepared. I have to join that army. Only through him can we conquer the world around us. Now, you and I, we're not currently in the military. We're not out there fighting with swords and shields and things like that. But we're in a battle. Social media has to be one of the hardest battles to face as a Christian. It is full of negativity and people trying to influence and to believe and accept things that are contradictory to God's word. And we have to stand strong according to God's word. It's not the world's feelings. It's not the world's opinions. This is what God's word says, and I'm ready for battle. In 1 John 4:4, he says, you are from God, little children, and you have overcome them, those individuals who are making our life difficult, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Satan will try to tear us down as often as he possibly can. I drove by a church building yesterday or the day before, and on their sign it said, one of the lies that Satan says is, all I have to do is be baptized. And that's a true statement, isn't it? There are people who believe if I've just been baptized, I can live my life however I want to. But that is not what the scripture said. To be put into his army, to be put into his kingdom, I do have to be baptized, but then I have to follow my path. And I have to make sure I'm doing my best to walk that path. I have to be ready for battle. And the only way I can be ready for battle is having my sword. And what is that sword? God's holy word. Sharper than any two-edged sword out there. It's the only way I'm going to conquer those who are against me. Going into battle is an important prayer. I do have to be ready on a daily basis. But there are times we grow weary, right? There are times that we make our mistakes. There are times that we just flat out sin. There are times that we just feel overwhelmed by what's around us. I have to be resolute. I have to be determined that no matter what, God's truth is the truth. I will not change it. I will walk in the path he has set before me. A movie that depicts that is the Book of Eli. If you know that movie, we're in, you know, an apocalyptic era in the future. There are no books around, and the books that they do find, one individual's trying to find them. We find out as we go along that the book he's looking for that will give everybody hope, but he wants to misuse, is the Bible. And Eli's journey has taken him to California, where he believes the Bible can be reproduced and distributed. Eli prays in this movie. He says, dear Lord, thank you for giving me strength and conviction to complete the task that you entrusted to me. Thank you for guiding me straight and true through the many obstacles in my path, and for keeping me resolute when all around me seemed lost. And there are times that we feel hopeless. We're trying to fight, we're trying to battle, and we get worn down. But if we pray to be resolute, fast in our walk, sticking to our truth, God will be there for us. If you know the story of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was, you know, the individual next to the king that would drink his drink and taste his food to make sure that his king would not be poisoned and killed. The king had great faith in him. But Nehemiah hears about how Jerusalem has been destroyed. The wall is down and it is desolate. And he feels in his heart he needs to go and rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. And the king grants it. And people come speaking against Nehemiah constantly, trying to intimidate them. It even gets to a point where Nehemiah has half the men building the wall and the other half standing on the other side of them with a sword drawn in their hand to fight off any enemy trying to prevent it from happening. And we can see Nehemiah gets weary, but he looks to God. He says in chapter 6, verse 9, for all of them were trying to frighten us, thinking they will become discouraged with the work and it will not be done. These individuals were lying about Nehemiah and the children of Israel that he had brought to rebuild that wall and trying to get the kings to turn their back on them. But he says, but now, O God, strengthen my hand. Make me resolute in this job. I am trying to serve you and rebuild your wall to protect your holy city. I need to be resolute, and I know you can make me that. In Proverbs, we can read in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, he says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. We can't do it on our own. That's absolutely true. And when we really begin weary and we try to make ourselves stronger, we can't do it without God's help. We have to go to God in prayer and ask for his strength to encourage us to be resolute. In the New Testament, to the church of Philippi in chapter 4, verses 13, it's a very common verse. It says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now we have to understand that when we talk about that, we're not talking about worldly things. We're talking about godly things. He will strengthen us if we're seeking to do his will. Being resolute is absolutely important. But have you found a time that you lost it? That you completely failed? That you have great regret on your actions, your behaviors, and the things that you have done? One of my all-time favorite movies gives us an example of what to do when I just don't know. When I look at It's a Wonderful Life and we see George Bailey, his family has lost the money, they're going to arrest him for embezzlement, and he's just trying to figure things out, and he goes to the bridge and he begins to pray, God, dear Father in heaven, I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there and you can hear me, show me the way. I'm at the end of my rope. Show me the way, God. Have you been there? I know I have. And that's tough, to realize that all of the burdens in my life are because of my own personal choices. 48 weeks ago, it was all my choices. You know, my wife had asked me to get into counseling. My cousin had asked me to get in counseling for years. And I just thought I could deal with it on my own, and I could bury my frustrations and my anger, and I just got worse and worse and worse. But I originally had prayed, I just make this go away, God. Just make my wife forgive me and make my children forgive me and let everything be okay tomorrow. And that was just the wrong prayer. Yeah. But there were times also in that journey that I just didn't know what to pray. Tears going down my face, my mind spinning with thoughts in it. I just couldn't organize it. When I look at 1 Samuel 1, Hannah gives us an example of that. We know that Hannah, she just wanted to have a child. She just wanted to have a son. And she goes to the temple to pray. And it says Eli is there and he watches her. And because she's praying and her heart is heavy and she's praying by moving her lips but not saying words, right? So he thinks what? That woman's drunk. How dare she come into the temple and pray and be drunk? And he accuses her of such. And she lets him know why her heart is so, I'm not drunk. I have not been drinking. Please don't judge me that way. My heart is desperate to have a son. I have promised God that I will give him back to him if he just lets me have a child. And Eli tells her to go on her way, and he will petition God to answer her prayers. But she was in a point where she just couldn't verbalize how heavy her heart was. In Psalms 18, verse 6, it says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God for help, and he heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry for help before him came into his ears. And there are times that we're so broken and we're so down and we have so many problems that we just don't know how to word it all. But in our distress, we look to the right place. We look to God. We don't open up books and try for self-help books. We don't watch videos on encouragement. If we want the truth, we go to the truth. Not man's ideas, not man's words. If it's a person speaking God's truth, then that's good. But all the guidance I need is in that Bible. He's given it to us so we can stand strong. And when we just don't know, he does. An example that many of us who preach here use, talk about in Luke chapter 18, 13, Jesus is talking about two individuals going in the temple to pray because he wants them to understand. You could be a Pharisee and you could know God's word and you could quote it and you could preach it, but does not mean that you're a righteous individual. A And you could be a heathen, a tax collector, somebody lower than scum on this earth, and be repentant. He talks about the tax collector in verse 13. He said he was standing away from this. He couldn't even go up to the altar. He couldn't even approach them. And he was unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven because he was so humble. He began to beat his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Haven't we all been there at some point? Some of us, unfortunately, more than others. But I have to go to the right place. Peter tells us in chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, the best way to do it. He says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all of your anxiety on him. Don't worry about it. Yes, life is frustrating, life is difficult, but cast it upon him because he cares for you. He loves you so much that he let his son die for you. He let his son took all of the pain and agony and frustration and the death that we deserve when we sin upon himself because he cares for you. The things that stress us out, and some of us have higher tolerances for stress and anxiety and things like that, and some of us don't. It doesn't matter how small it might be in the grand scheme of things. If it's causing us worry and heavy heart and stress and anxiety, God cares for you. Take it to him. When I look at Romans 8, 26 through 27, this is the scripture that John mentioned in his prayers, which I greatly appreciate this morning. He says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. Right? There are times that everything's just flooding into our minds and we're just so overwhelmed, but God understands. He says, the Spirit himself will intercede for us with groanings that are too deep for us to have words for us to understand. And he takes it and he presents it to God for us, every one of us, every individual, because our God cares. There are times that we just don't know, right? I just don't know what to pray for, God, but I'm worried, I'm stressed, I'm lost, I've made mistakes. And I need you. And then there are times that when we are doing the right thing that I just want to do more for you. You let your son die for me and I want to do more. If you know the movie, it's based on a true story. There was an individual that asked for help on what was called Hacksaw Ridge. And he just kept saying, God, please help me get one more. One individual who refused to carry a gun into battle stood beside his fellow soldiers. And when they came under fire and were being shot, he went in under fire and rescued 75 men. 75 individuals who would have lost their lives. Many of them fathers, many of them husbands. And their life would have ended if it wasn't for that individual asking for a very quick prayer. God, give me strength. One more. Come on, just one more. We should have that fire within inside of us. If we're Christians, we should be desiring to do one more. I had two ladies approach Carrie and I when we were at the Back to the 50s festival, and they're Jehovah Witnesses. And they were asking people to put post-it notes on their board and things that, you know, mean the most to them and things, you know. And as Carrie and I were talking, it's not that we agree with their beliefs by any means. But there are times I feel like they're doing more for God than what I do for God. Another denomination should not set the example for me on how to serve God. Let me do more, God. In Isaiah 40, 31, he writes, yet those who wait for the Lord, they will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. How do you get the ability to do more? You pray to God for help. And he'll grant it to you. He will give you what you need to continue on. In the New Testament, in the letter to the Hebrew church, in chapter 13, he says in verse 6, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? They're saying in the Old Testament, this was said and it continues on today because God has never changed. The Old Testament God is still God of the New Testament. And he is still our God 2,000 years later today. God will see me through, and there's nothing a man could do to me to take me out of his hands if I'm a member of his kingdom. They can end my life if they want to. But if I have lived my life true and according to his truth, if I am in his kingdom, my physical life can end, but my eternal life can begin. They can't take that away from me. In John 15:5, Jesus says, I'm the vine. You are my branches. And if you are in me, that's how you do more. It's the only way you can do more. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. But he says, if you're not a part of my branches, if you're not connected to me and my vine, you can't bear fruit. You can't do more. We have to make that choice. I think there are times that we need to really look at ourselves and say, God, I need help to do more. I know I do. How can I do more to serve you? The last one, get ready, Gene, is we need to give God praise. As individuals, we need to praise God for what we have and what he's done and recognize his power and his all. In the movie War Room, you have Miss Claire who takes that scripture and says you go into a quiet place and you pray so no one else hears. And so she clears out her closet and she puts all these notes everywhere and she prays for hours for these individuals and she seeks out individuals to help. And at the end of this movie, we see that she helps restore a husband and wife to walk according to God's law, but to love each other and to build their marriage back up. She says, you've done it again, Lord. You've done it again. You are God. You are mighty, and you are merciful. You keep taking care of me even though I don't deserve it. You are Lord. We should find ourselves throughout our lives saying those type of words, recognizing that we don't deserve his love and we don't deserve the death of his son, but it was given to us freely. In 1 Samuel 2, going into the second chapter of the story of Hannah, we can see after she was being accused of being a drunkard and in the temple, we have an answered prayer. And Sarah doesn't say, thank you, Eli. Thank you for interceding for me. No, she goes directly to God. It says in starting in verse 1, my heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. He has answered my prayers. He hears me because he cares about me. In Psalms 34, verse 1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Continuing on in Psalms 118, he says in verse 24, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the Lord's day. But tomorrow, that day belongs to the Lord as well. And it's a day that you will be granted if you wake up to serve God and to be an example and to do more for him, or to go into battle, or to correct your weaknesses, or to realize you've been trying to do it on your own, but you need God to intercede. Or maybe it's an illness or struggle that you just need to escape. Well, it's God's day. And if I rejoice in what God has done for me, he will hear my prayers and continue to do more. In Hebrews 12:28, it says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and with awe. See who your God is. See who your Christ is. Give them glory. Give them honor. Give them the love and respect that they deserve. There are many times that we need to find within ourselves that we need to pray. As I said, that is not all the types of prayers that we need to have to give, but hopefully things that connect to you, because in the past 48 weeks, I have found myself in all six of these. Not teaching you anything new today. I'm not teaching you the steps that you need to do in order to be baptized, but I'm teaching you if you haven't been baptized, then if I go back to my scripture reading where it says that he's going to hear me when I speak to him, if I'm not baptized, he doesn't. I have to realize that being baptized into the death, burial, and resurrection of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and being washed away from my sins with his blood so that I don't have to have death eternally when my life ends. That's one step. But I also don't have the strength of God listening to me if I'm not connected to him. And Jesus' own words said, if I am in God and you are in me, then you are in God as well. But if you're not in me, if you're not in my kingdom, if you haven't taken my blood to wash your sins away, you're not with God. And God can't hear you. If you need prayers from the congregation, that is one of the types of prayers that was originally on my list that we should do, and we should pray for one another. Or if you want to take that opportunity to be baptized into Christ so that God will hear you and be there for you, we offer that opportunity to you this morning. Please come forward as we stand and sing.